Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tailgate Show. Mike D'Attilio along with the legendary. Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We were SRO for a while, but we got a few empty tables. So if you're in the area, come on by and see us. But, man, for the last 3 hours, they had some folks in here. So be careful when you're driving on the roads. I know it's all wet and you want to get there quick, but be careful while you're driving. So also want to thank our presenting sponsor, too, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb knows a little bit about Map Construction. And Herb, big game tonight, undefeated. Yes. Texas A&M Aggies playing LSU. And for LSU, this must win. I mean, come on. Yeah. You can't put another L up on the board.
No, sir.
It'll be a sloppy track. I always think
that it'll be.
When that track is like it is, the advantage goes to the running quarterback. You were one of those guys.
That's right.
Do you agree?
I think the advantage goes to anybody that can run the football, including
the running quarterback. That's the problem for LSU.
That's right. So with that, I agree with you 100%. Marcel Reed is going – he's going to be able to do some really great things, I think, in when it comes to actually running the football, if you will, in this wet surface and whatever's going on at Tiger Stadium. I think it's going to be really great. I think that they do a very great job of keeping that field dry, keeping it in pristine conditions so that they can have a leg up, if you will, when you're a skill position person. When you think about this game tonight, the biggest thing that this game is going to come down to is who wants it more. The past, 10 games that we've seen the LSU and A&M play, it's anybody's game.
It's been some crazy games.
So when you think about that and you look at that, it's going to be exciting tonight, especially under the lights in Tiger Stadium, where it never rains. The chances of rain is zero, none, whenever, right?
I don't know. I'm passing that thing to get here. But it's not technically
it ain't raining in Tiger Stadium.
I told this to A-Bear. This is in the 70s. My uncle and my dad brought my brother and I watched Texas A&M. That's when it was in the old Southwest Conference, play against LSU. It poured down rain from basically where my mom and dad's house was on the bayou all the way to Baton Rouge. As soon as we parked, nothing.
Bright sunshiny day?
No. It was at night. So it was no. The sunshine was the lights.
That's right.
And they had a little mist of rain toward the end of the game. Didn't really make no difference, though. A guy, he is a regular listening to this program. He's from Louisiana, but he was the quarterback for A&M back then. David Walker.
Oh, David Walker.
Okay. Yeah, he ran the wishbone. LSU still trying to figure out how to tackle him. And it sort of reminded me last year how the fortunes of both Texas A&M and LSU changed at halftime
of that game.
LSU's got a lead, got an opportunity to kind of seal it away late in the first half, doesn't do it. All of a sudden, Wegman gets pulled.
Yep.
And who comes in?
Marcel Reed.
Marcel Reed. And LSU's, like David Walker, they're still trying to tackle him.
They're still trying to tackle him from last year, as well as every other running quarterback from that point on.
Well, Jalen Milroe was, if it had been flag football, they'd still be trying to catch him.
That's right. So, you know, I think it'll be a little bit different this year. And the reason being is because I think we actually can attack the running quarterback. And our defense is, they fly around the ball. They have a lot of energy. They play really, really well as a group and as a unit. And I think Blake Baker is one of the better defensive coordinators out there. And I think he'll have a better game plan this week, I hope. Than they did last week versus Pavia. And so we'll see exactly how that shakes out. But I will say this. This is anybody's game tonight. I don't care what the records are going into it. You know, when Texas A&M and LSU meet, it's one of the most exciting, one of the most fun games that you can ever watch.
Yeah, and so no Moss tonight for Texas A&M.
Nope,
he's dealing with an injury, but Reuben Owens,
yep.
I'm impressed with him as a runner. Man, he's kind of low cut, built low to the ground, but, man, he's tough. He runs hard between the tackles.
Yes, he does.
He's got some juice to hit the edge. And so LSU, not only to combat that, but they brought in two transfer receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, they have made it work.
Over there, yeah.
Concepcion's one of them. He's done a great job for them in catching the ball. And you can see in these short yardage-type situations and conversion downs, that's exactly where Marcel Reed is going with the football.
Well, this game will not lack talent on both sides of the field, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm.
And Mike Elko can recruit now.
And especially at Texas A&M.
I got a few dollars, too.
That's right. They've always they bring in some really great talent, and they play really well together, especially against LSU. For whatever reason, they always come together whenever they play LSU and play very, very well. So those two guys that's on the outside that are going to be anchoring that Texas A&M offense, as far as receiver is concerned, they're going to be something special to watch. I think when you take a look at these guys today, you'll see some special plays that's going to be made. I don't anticipate them throwing the ball around a lot unless the rain just completely dissipates and goes away.
That's LSU's offense.
They're going to have to figure something out. They're going to throw the football. I know LSU's going to throw the football. Now, will they run the football? And I'm hoping that they can get back to at least some kind of balance of the run game, pass game. Last week, you can't have, like, and we talked about this, you can't have in the first half 24 offensive snaps. You've got to be able to sustain some drives. You've got to be able to get some first downs and then put 6 points on the board or seven or a touchdown on the board when you get down in the red zone. You can't kick field goals. You cannot kick field goals against a team like Texas A&M who's going to be putting up points all night long, I think. And, well, let me say this. They'll have an opportunity to put up points all night long. So if you go touchdown for touchdown, you have a chance to win. If you go touchdown for field goals, you don't. I don't see that happening.
So, one of the things with the Aggies, they are really good getting up the field, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And now Kerryus Kern is being put in at the left tackle position.
Yes, he is.
Tyrese went in for the ankle surgery, and he'll be out. You know, I don't know. The Tua came back pretty quick from that. But Tua's a 325-pound man either.
No. And Tua's on the sideline right now, too.
Yeah. And he was like 330 pounds. You know, that's what his is. So we'll get a long look at Kerryus Kern, who everybody who has went to camp.
I like the guy.
Talked about, they were so impressed with him. But now, okay, camp is camp. Practice is practice. This is the real game.
It's the real deal. You got the helmets, the shoulder pads on, the lights are bright. Who's doing the right things right now, right? Can he sustain the blocks? Can he push people around when it comes to the offensive run game? And I think he's going to do well in the pass blocking portion of tonight
to
for
me,
him.
I want to see him as a run
can
blocker.
Can he push some people around? Can he help open some holes up? But it's not just him. It's going to be the other four guys on the offensive line as well. Can they do that? It's going to be – tonight's going to be a night where the run game has to come together, and I think it's going to be running by committee as LSU has been over the past, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, which is going to be, you know, Caden Berry and his name escapes me.
Harlan Berry and Caden Durham.
Caden Durham, Harlan Berry, and then the other guy that was quarterback. Used to be quarterback, but now he's running back. Yeah. But anyway, but they're going to have
Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, Juwan Johnson. They're all going to be playing well or get the opportunity to play tonight. And we're going to see who's going to be able to advance the football for LSU's run game. Now, the other thing is, can our receivers make some catches? Because we've got way too many drop balls here lately. Especially from some high-profile guys such as Hilton. And we've had a couple of drop passes from Barry and Brown as well. But we need to see if we can secure the football and advance the ball down the field, get some first downs, score some touchdowns, and get it started early, like you were saying last week. You got to start early. You got to start fast.
I think to use the short pass almost like an extended handoff.
Yes.
Because in these conditions, yeah, you can hit on some deep passes. Because as an offensive player, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
The defensive guy, not so much.
That's right.
But, again, I got to have time to throw it, too.
And some creativity to get the backs the ball in the flats or wherever you're going to – however you're going to try to do that. I just haven't seen that over the past 6 to 7 weeks in our offensive game plan in regards to some screen plays, some, you know, backs out in the flat and releases and things of that nature to be able to get them the football in their hands outside of just trying to run the ball up the middle.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge.
Yes,
hey,
we
got some empty tables, a few of them now.
Right, so it's starting to fill back up again.
Got some people waiting, too, to come in.
That's
so,
right.
Hey, if you're in the neighborhood, saw the full crowd, hey, come on back. They got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. Again, at 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more of our tailgating show right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Break. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler.
That's right.
We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. We've got a full house here. They got some great food and drink specials. So come on by before you go to the game. And if you're not going to the game, we even talked to a few people. Hey, they just stopped on by. They weren't going to the game.
No.
They're not going to chance it with the rain. But I understand that perfectly in today's world. But, man, LSU will have a full house tonight.
Yeah, they will.
As they take on the Aggies. And such a crucial game. But, man, and just watching them and putting on the tape of watching how the Aggies have won. They've won different ways this year.
Yep.
They've won in close games like against Auburn. Also, they've won shootout games like they had last week against University of Arkansas. They had trouble stopping that quarterback, too.
Yeah.
And LSU eventually going to see him down the line. But Herb, it's one of those deals where I just think that you can't turn the ball over. And you got to run the football. And that, is the big question mark for this LSU football team.
Well, I think this, I think this game is a game where they have to come together as one. They got to be able to gel. They got to be able to believe in themselves. Again, like I said, they got to sustain drives. You can't go three and out. You got to continue to play really great team defense. And it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard. Texas A&M, they're going to come in here and they're going to be ready to go. They got a really great team, a really great coach. They're going to have a good game plan. It's going to come down to who's X's and O's, who's going to be able to put the guys in the right situation, and then, of course, the execution once you get into those situations. And can you drive the ball down the field and have some explosive plays when you need to have those? But also, can you get the third and twos and to sustain the drive, right? Can you push some people around and get that first down?
In a crazy kind of quirk in that, the Aggies have not beaten LSU in Tiger Stadium since they entered the SEC.
That's right. That's
in 2012. Man, that's a long stretch of time. A lot of football games played in that stadium.
Yeah.
Sort of a crazy. And then everybody remembers the multi overtime game a few years back.
Yeah, and,
man, I was talking to Coach O during the week, and he was telling me, I remember it too. They dumped the Gatorade on me, and it kept going. I thought we won. And
no.
Not so fast.
It's 74-72 later, man, right?
That was some crazy games with that, but again.
It was. But it was interesting, though, and it kept it interesting, and it showed the value of the talent that both teams had, right? So, and they never would give up.
And A&M heavily recruiting in Louisiana?
They always do, constantly, yeah. And that's the thing, right now, you know, he's not playing tonight, but, you know, they have a star running back from right here in Baton Rouge who's
from a Struma,
you know, so that's crazy how they just came in and picked him from here. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun, and these are the games that I really enjoy watching because you just never know. Because you got to, if you appreciate football, this is a game that you really want to watch tonight
and watch to the end. Because other than the 2019 year. When Joe Burrow and Clyde they could have named the score that night. All these games have been close. Just some sort of quirky plays in the game. How the games have had great momentum switch, and we talked about it last year. LSU dominating the first half, and then A&M dominating the second half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they couldn't be able to handle Marcel Reed out on the edge.
No, I mean, it's hard to, game plan for a guy who you had no idea would be coming into the game and playing in the game. And so with that being said, and then he was an exceptional player. And you see that this year, right? And what he can do. He's got his team 7-0.
And Connor Wegman lands on his feet with my old friend Willie Fritz at University of Houston.
That's right, So he's playing well. He's doing well there. But Marcel Reed is a different beast. He's a different guy. He's a guy that – he's the type of talent that I always like to see at the quarterback position. Somebody that can see the field, throw the football. They can also feel the rush, and they can get kind of escape the rush and then still get the ball down the field or be able to take off and run the football with the ball in his hand. So he can run with the ball in his hand, understanding how to cut, make moves, things of that nature, and also learning how to get tackled or get down when need be or get out of bounds, things of that nature.
He's become a much more efficient passer this
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah.
You can see. He sees the field better. He gets the ball out quicker. And, you know, but that comes to, for me, experience that he didn't have last year.
Yeah, you got to have
He was sort of winging it last year.
Well, you know, he and And that's generally what you do when you first start get those first four or five starts under your belt. You're just trying not to make a mistake, and then you're just trying to see what actually works. And then when you have a whole offseason as a starter, you can go back there, you can watch video, you can put the VR on, and you can do different things like that to be able to enhance your play and understand your execution of the game, being able to see different defenses, and then understanding how to throw the ball with touch or with fire on it or whatever it may be. And so, yeah, you'd see a completely different person this year in Marcel Reed, which is what we thought we would see in Garrett Nussmeier this year, as a guy who's taking that next step and progress to that next level of potentially, hopefully, being able to be a front runner for the Heisman Trophy, which the Heisman Trophy doesn't matter. At the end of the day, can you lead your team to the victory, right, and then to the promised land, which is the playoffs, and then ultimately a championship. And, you know, Nuss struggled early with some, some small injuries, things like that. But I think really with Nuss, it was really more confidence and not being able to, kind of rely on the offensive game plan and what they were trying to do. It just wasn't working, and it didn't work early, and it was frustration was building, and then not having that confidence. But one thing I know that Nuss does have is a boatload of confidence in himself.
And there's no question about that.
I want him to have and play that same way every down and down out, moving forward, period. And I think he still has the opportunity to turn, and I don't want to call it turn the season around, because he's not having a terrible season. It's just not the season that people expected him to have. But he's still got a long season in front of him. They have everything to play for moving forward. There's a long, tough track of games that's coming up, but it starts tonight, and I think that, you just keep playing and go back to the 1-0 mentality, and you win one game, and you win another game, and before you know it, you look up, and you're in the playoffs.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike D'Antilio along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials. Also, if you're looking for catering, if it's for a special event, holiday season's coming right around the corner, Halloween next week, and then you got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. If you don't like the traditional turkey, ham, that sort of thing, hey, give them a call here. They can fix you up.
I like turkey and ham. And I also like
back to back.
I like it all. Give it to me.
I'm all in on you with that. We'll be back with more of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike D'Antilio along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
Legendary.
Here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Man, Coach Jenkins texted me during the week. He said, you still getting that money? I said, I'm waiting for it.
I sent it to you last week.
No, you didn't get it? No,
Luke,
no, no.
Luke,
no.
Make sure he gets the money.
No, it's that Thank NIL you. Money I'm supposed to be getting from you, but I ain't getting it.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes the Uber driver, he don't make it on time.
Yeah, right. It's our.
You know, the way that my checking and my savings account work, it just don't work.
Yeah, I'll get you. And I'll hold off for another week or so. It's our Inside the Tiger Den segment. Brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. And on our call line, we have on with us from Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yes,
Jeff,
sir.
We thought you'd show up over here. I guess maybe the weather chased you away, right?
That's right.
No, I'm actually on campus, and I gotta be honest with you guys. The weather here on campus matches the mood of what we've had here in Baton Rouge since that loss to Vanderbilt. I think the rain will be letting up here soon. But so far, it's pretty quiet on campus. Not as many tailgaters as you would expect in a big top 20 matchup on a Saturday night in Death Valley.
You got Motte Gillies over here at Acme Oyster House.
That's right.
Yeah, we got plenty of them here today, so we good with all that. Jeff, a critical game certainly for LSU. You can't have another loss in the column here going up against A&M. For A&M, they want to keep their momentum going. And the fact that they haven't beaten LSU in Tiger Stadium since they entered the SEC, it's one of these games where – other than 2019, Herb and I were talking about that. All these games have been sort of weird. It's played in halves, quarters, and it always comes down to a crazy ending.
Yeah, and, you know, big momentum shifts. You know, obviously 2018, seven overtimes, whatever it was. You know, of course, in 2022, when LSU had a really good opportunity, Brian Kelly brings the Tigers over to A&M in a Jimbo Fisher team with a losing record beats LSU 2024. We remember what happened there with Marcel Reed coming off the bench and the huge momentum shift that resulted in Garrett Nussmeier's critical interception that really turned the game. And I would think that this, even though LSU is a little bit down and out, and again still missing a critical piece like Whit Weeks, I kind of feel like this game is going to be a bit of a back-and-forth game. I mean, you got Texas A&M on the road for a second consecutive week. Usually, it's hard to win going on the road back-to-back weeks. So far, teams that have done that, they're 0-3 in the SEC, 2-6 last year. We all know that A&M hasn't won in Tiger Stadium since 1994. So there's a lot here for Texas A&M to get over in order to beat LSU. And you got a very desperate LSU team tonight. I mean, it really is a last stand here for Brian Kelly and the Tigers tonight.
Yeah, because you do have an open week. But, man, that 2 weeks going to seem like 2 years before you get back on the field to play Alabama.
If you lose this game tonight.
I mean, and boy, if you think the heat's turned up now, it would really be turned up. And then knowing who you got to play in a couple weeks.
Oh, I agree. I mean, this was, as Brian Kelly mentioned on Monday, he knows, he's hearing the angst from the fan base. Just imagine what it will be like after if they lose this game, a team that they've been able to beat since they've entered the Southeastern Conference, and then you got 2 weeks to sit on it. And there will be fans really demanding some sort of a change, especially if LSU's offense doesn't do anything in this game.
Yeah, and you would have to think about that at that particular point, or at least giving him an opportunity to see some playing time at the most important position on the field. But he don't block. He don't drop passes. You know, that's been a big part of, you know, what's fallen apart for LSU, their inability to move people off the line of scrimmage. And then Jeff, what I think is surprising, as many drops as the LSU receivers have had this year.
That's surprising. That's really a
big surprise, because this isn't a young group. This is a veteran group of receivers. Doesn't matter if they were playing at LSU or not. These guys have seen a lot of playing time in college football.
Yeah, I would say, you know, obviously a lot of the focus for LSU's offensive troubles have been on the offensive line. But I think as a whole that this wide receiving core has been underwhelming. I would say that. I mean, Berrien Brown, there was a lot of hype about this young man, and he's been a nice addition. I don't think it's helped that Aaron Anderson has been really banged up this year. Chris Hilton has been, MIA. I mean, hasn't been out there at all. Xavion Thomas is, I like how they used him. He had obviously a terrific play last week when they really needed it against Vanderbilt. But I think as a whole, this wide receiving core has just not been that exciting. It has not been that good. I mean, there's not. And, 2 years ago when Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy and you had Chris Hilton and Malik Nabers and Tyron Lacy, I mean, you obviously had two first-round picks. I mean, that was such a dynamic wide receiving group. And, really the last couple of years it just hasn't – I mean, Aaron Anderson had a really good season last year, but it just hasn't been – it hasn't been very good. There's been a drop-off here, and I don't think much has been made about it because – a lot of the focus has been on just how bad the offensive line has been. And yeah, that's kind of where it starts. We all know that, for any kind of offense to function at a high level, you need good offensive line play. And, Texas A&M is getting it. And that's why they're one of the top offenses. And they have two dynamic wide receivers. But the offensive line is certainly giving Marcel Reed plenty of time to throw the football. And they're making plays through the air. So, It really is. When you look at LSU's offensive problems, it's spread across the board. It's a lot of different guys are just not performing to the level that you thought.
Go ahead, Herb.
I was going to ask Jeff. Last week, with Vanderbilt, we playing Pavia, and this week we've got Reed. What kind of changes does LSU make on defense in order to prevent Reed from having one of these breakout games with his feet and his arms?
Well, I think at least you don't have to worry about the option, right? The option just – I mean, LSU needed to go into that game and play disciplined football, and they didn't do that. I mean, if Marcel Reed is running the football, a lot of that is – it would be a read option, or it would be, maybe a power run. I think it would be more of your standard running the quarterback. But, and he's made some plays with his legs, but I think what has made this A&M offense, and I just alluded to it a few seconds ago, what has made them as dangerous as they've been has been the two additions at wide receiver. I mean, I think those two guys, Concepcion has been terrific for them. Those two guys have been, you go back to the Notre Dame game, those guys made huge, big plays. I mean, Marcel Reed didn't complete a high percentage of passes, but they were able to hit on some big plays. And what I think gives you a little bit of hope for LSU is that where Texas A&M's strength is, I guess, at the wide, with two dynamic wide receivers, LSU's got some outstanding cornerbacks. If there's an area on this team that has performed well, maybe even performed, I don't think anybody would have thought Mansoor Delane was going to be as dominant as he's been at cornerback. And DJ Pickett's come along very well, and PJ Woodland has really improved over his freshman season. At least LSU, I think, can match up with these guys. And, maybe that might force Marcel Reed into making some mistakes. He's thrown very few interceptions this season. But I think that in the end, it's got to come down kind of to the same philosophy as he had against Diego Pavia, is that you can't let Marcel Reed beat you with his legs. You got to keep him somewhere under that, 40 yards rushing or something like that. If he gets up to 60, 70, 80 yards like Chambliss and Pavia did, and those were the two losses for LSU. They allowed those two guys to make some big plays on the ground.
Jeff, it has just ended in Norman, Oklahoma, but being caught in the eye of the vortex again for Lane Kiffin, he pulls it off as Ole Miss beats Oklahoma 34-26 in a wow week of rumors going all around about Lane Kiffin. Would this team be focused? Their defense actually played pretty good for a half. Now, the second half was kind of shaky.
A little bit.
But, man, their offense is really rolling. And, again, Ole Miss, 34-26 over Oklahoma. And that's a big win for the Rebels on the road, especially after the way they lost last week against Georgia?
I tell you what, I know Ole Miss's defense got torched a little bit last week against Georgia, but I think they've been better. I mean, they did a good job against LSU, and I understand LSU has its problems offensively, but I think this Ole Miss defense has been better than what most people thought going into this season. And, you know, sometimes it's better not to win the off season, right? I mean, Ole Miss won the off season a year ago with off the transfer portals, and they had all those NFL players on defense, but they were really good on defense, but there was just something, you know, just kind of something missing with that team, and they fall short of getting into the college football playoff. You know, this past off season, you know, not as big of splashes in the transfer portal. You leave that to LSU, and then look at it this year for LSU's perspective. There's just something missing with this team. It's just they have not been able to connect, even though they brought in some talented players out of the transfer portal. So, you know, sometimes it's better to just kind of find those role players in a way, and not necessarily the big stars that were really in the transfer portal chasing the dollar.
Jeff, last question for you. I think this is one of those games where, come on, this game's not about plays. It's about players. On offense, get the football more to Tre'Davious Green. Come on. He's a nightmare mismatch. I don't care who you've got covering him. And if you're going to rotate all kind of coverage toward him, that means somebody else is wide open. Mm-hmm. To me, they've got to be able to figure out and they have, I know the last 2 weeks, gotten him the ball more. But to me, I'm throwing him the football 10 to 12 times a game until you can stop it.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that's, there's a handful of players that have really had a good season. And obviously Green is in there, mentioned Delane. A.J. Halsey's been really good. Tamarcus Cooley has played well. I mean, but that's kind of, that's almost where it, as far as really having – outstanding seasons, that's kind of where it ends a little bit. But yeah, he's your best weapon. I'm still thinking, guys. I mean, as much as we've, and I'm sure over the course of your show, you're going to talk about the problems on offense. There have been signs, though, here the last couple of weeks against South Carolina. They moved the ball rather well. They didn't score enough points. They didn't score a lot of points. I thought offensively last week, other than till late in the fourth quarter, LSU did some nice things. I think there's just eventually going to have a game where Harlan Berry has a really good game. You get the sense that he's figuring out a little bit, and maybe that happens here tonight. For LSU to win, they got to hit on a big play, whether that's a 60-yard run, a defensive touchdown, heck, a punt return for a touchdown, something that really gets this Tiger Stadium crowd jacked up and fired up, and it rattles Texas A&M a little bit, and then they start thinking, oh man, we haven't won in this place in 94, and now we know why. So, I mean, I think that's what I'm looking for here tonight, a big momentum play in this game where LSU really, just much like what happened last year with LSU. Nussmeier throws the interception, here comes Marcel Reed, and Kyle Fields rocking, and LSU, just completely falls apart in the game, and really their season nearly falls apart. For LSU to win this game, that's what's going to need to happen here tonight. They got to do something stunning to really, really shock Texas A&M and get the momentum and get this crowd that has been very angry and restless and get them fired up and get them back supporting LSU again.
Because Texas A&M right now playing with confidence. Okay, yes, there is no carryover with momentum.
No.
It is all about confidence.
Yep.
And right now, A&M's got it and LSU don't. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy the conversation, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. You take care. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Don't come here next week now. We're not going to be here because it's an off week. So. Thank you, Jeff.
He might show up anyway. I might show up.
Yeah,
anyway.
You come next week. We ain't going to do the show. Got to wait for 2 weeks for that.
That's right.
That's our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets.
celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. We'll be back to finish it up here in our number one right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one, our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and see us. We got another hour and a half of Tiger Tailgating. Got great food and drink specials right here at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more of our Tiger Tailgate Show right after this news break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge at Acme Oyster House. Come on by and visit us. Man, we got a steady flow of people, but it's not standing outside like we was.
No.
But, man, Luke and I got here a couple hours early. Man, they had a lot of folks here, but they do have some room here. Come on by and visit us. Great food, great drink specials here.
Great atmosphere.
Acme Oyster House, and like Herb said, great atmosphere here at Acme. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb, one of the things in the game today, and I want to see how this plays out, because normally on a sloppy field like this, that's going to be a special teams play that's going to be made by somebody. If it's a punt, kick return, if it's a block kicked, if it's a missed field goal, something in that category is going to happen tonight because of the fact, one thing with a bad field, Bobby April used to always tell me that, bad field ain't conducive to special teams.
No.
Somebody's going to make a play one way or another,
right,
or they'll have a breakdown on special teams if you have a muddy track.
It's going to either be advancing the ball on special teams,
right,
or defending it on special teams. And then the other thing that you got to look out for, too, is going to be if the ball is going to be wet, what's the quarterback center exchange looks like, right?
Exactly.
What is the mesh point looks like with the running backs and the quarterback? That's going to be interesting. And then I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm LSU's defense or Texas A&M's defense, I'm just ripping and ripping away at the football all night long just in case, because you never know what happens. And when that field gets, you know, wet, damp, muddy, whatever you want to call it, and whatever level it gets to, the cleats, the types of shoes you're wearing makes a difference. And then also you got to be able to keep your center of gravity underneath you. If not, if you leverage it one way or another, you're going to slip and that's going to be it for you. You won't have good feeding. And that's one of the things that Coach Morris Watts used to tell me all the time. He said, if you fall down, that's on you. It ain't on the field. It ain't on the cleats. It ain't on anything else. If you're on the ground, you need to get up. You should not be on the ground. You should learn how to be able to use your leverage, use your weight, you distribute your weight in such a way to where you can always be upright in order to be able to make a play some kind of which way. Because you can't make no plays any kind of which way if you are on the ground, because that means the play is dead at that point.
Man, that was the Sean Payton deal. Man, when Sean Payton was here in New Orleans,
yep,
he would complain all the time to guys on the road, change your cleats, that sort of thing. He was a stickler for all that. Now, he learned that from Coach Parcells, because Bill was big into that also. But that is something tonight to watch. And what you brought up about quarterback center exchange, when you played in games like this, sort of tell everybody a little bit. Now, a lot of it now is out of the shotgun, too.
Yep.
So,
but it's still exchange,
it's
though.
It's getting the ball to the quarterback.
Yep.
And you see some centers sort of drag that the ball sometimes through the grass. Now, if it's wet, then you really got issues. That ball could skirt away from you or skirt left or right.
You got to have that towel that's always dry. So every series, you know, the center either has a towel or the quarterback has a towel to be able to dry your hands. Not so much the ball, but keep your hands dry. And then you have to emphasize completing that execution, right? And I don't mean emphasize it to which a point to where you get paralyzed by trying to just think about that solely, and you don't really understand what's happening within the play. So you just got to naturally go out there and do it. And you know, a lot of times during the week they're practicing with wet balls, they're practicing with certain situations and things like that when it comes to weather, noise, and things of that nature. So I'm sure they practice with wet balls all week. And you know, it's it's not a thing. Once you get over it, the first couple of snaps, that's a wrap. It's done. It doesn't even matter if it's raining in the game or not. If you are focused on your execution of the play and the defense or offense or whatever it is, the position that you're playing, if you focus on that stuff, then the wet ball, none of that stuff really becomes a hindrance or a problem for you.
As a receiver, in that connection, kind of one-on-one with them, now, all of them wear gloves today, but I'm not real sure, you know, in this type of weather, would you wear the gloves?
As a quarterback?
No. I'm talking about as a receiver.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would wear
gloves. I would think so.
Those gloves that they have now, man, they're amazing.
they can make a great catch look better.
That's right. I don't understand how they're dropping balls because, to me, it's hard to drop a football with the tackiness that's on those gloves now that is legal. And I would always wear gloves. I would always have them on just because it protects. I wear gloves when I cut my grass, okay?
What?
Mike, I cut my grass, I weed eat. In July, August, September, don't matter what day. Look, I got to wear my gloves. It just makes me feel, it feels comfortable on my hands, especially when I'm having a foreign object on. And now when I play quarterback, I would not want to wear gloves because I wasn't used to throwing the football
correct.
With gloves, especially
right.
with the tackiness on the glove. Now, I'm sure there's a different type of glove now that you can wear I would probably use it if I played up north in the cold weather. I would definitely probably use gloves. And but you know, right now as a receiver, I would have gloves on every second that I could.
Yeah, and you know, we sort of grew up. Well, I know I did. Man, Fred Biletnikoff, yeah. He had that stickum. He'd put that thing on his socks, and then he transferred socks to hands, and man, it was
now,
all
that was
tacky.
Illegal. That was illegal.
It was illegal, but they never called it.
No, so it was legal then at that point.
So it was legal, and Lester Hayes started doing it. Another former Texas A&M standout. Man, Lester, when he grabbed that football, and he was a great defensive back. Mm-hmm. Man, he went through like a 5 or 6 year run. He was as good as anybody in the NFL. Now, they got a little bit sort of stringent on that Mel Blount rule where, you're doing that deal where you kind of bump and run and all the way downfield. Man, because Mel was great with that. And that's why they changed the rules is because of Mel Blount. But Lester, too, he was that way. Man, he's real physical with you all the way down the field because at one time they could hit you until the ball was thrown downfield.
Yeah, I mean, at one time you can actually get hit, you know, as a football player. Now you can barely get hit, right?
It's like two-hand touch.
Yeah, I don't know what we're playing. But look, back then it was great. Football was football. It was the ultimate warrior sport. To where you, like you said, you can fight the whole way down the field until the ball is thrown. When the ball is thrown, you can probably still fight another 50% of the time, and they wouldn't call it unless it was egregious, right?
Right.
And but you know, that's just the way that the game is now. It's a lot different. But you know, ultimately, these guys that play the game now, one of the things that really disturbs me on the defensive side of the football with the DBs, because you remember now, don't forget. I'm Mr. Interception back in 1991 for Edna Carr, junior high, guys. Okay, 9 intercepts in 5 games. It was a miracle. No one has ever done it since, before or after, or whatever you want to call it, because I'm the greatest. But anyway, the one thing I did do was whenever there's a certain point when a receiver is running a route, you got to have some kind of ingenuity and feeling for the football. And you just turn your head and you look back and you locate the ball, and then you go high point the ball. And you grab the ball. And
now they just mirror them.
They just mirror them. They're constantly looking at their
eyes.
Looking
in the mirror.
They're just looking at them, and they're hoping that they can just put – there's so many interceptions that could be held or had these days that don't. That just it's just so weird to me. The ball will hit a DB right in the back of the head. I'm like, what are you doing? You just turn your head, catch the ball. You got to intercept. But that's one of the things that just a pet peeve of mine is – and I don't know why they do that. I just don't understand.
And, you know, in a lot of these 7-on-7 stuff, and, you know, they're teaching these quarterbacks today, if that receiver is playing this mirror coverage and he got no intention of looking around.
Yeah, just throw it back.
I'm going to throw it to him.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to get a pass interference call because his head's not turned around.
Yeah, that's right. Because he's not looking for the football, so they're going to throw the flag all day long. It doesn't matter.
Man.
You go right to the back of the DB, and then the receiver is trying to come back to the ball. DB never looks for it. Guess what happens?
I was telling this people during the week that, and because Drew Brees had made this comment, that, you know, when he was playing, and, you know, it's illegal for you to get touched in the head or helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times Drew would say, man, I'd throw the ball and I'd practice because I knew that guy would put his hands up to block it. And I would try to time it just right where he'd get his hands down and I'd
his head
duck
is
my
right
head
up.
Under mm-hmm. it. Oh, well, touch me. And then Drew would act like he got hit with,
the world. Yeah.
Like he got hit with a shotgun. you know, with man, all these quarterbacks, they know the tricks of the trade. Just watch Patrick Mahomes and what he does today. Man, Patrick will kind of sometimes take you on, and then every once in a while somebody touches him like one step out of bounds, and that, you know, somebody took a baseball bat to it.
Well, every advantage that you need in order to win the game or advance the ball down the field, you got to be able to do it and take it, and it's just smart to me. And that's and look, Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes play a lot of football. Those guys know some little small
and
little tricks.
The NFL is going to protect them.
They're going to protect the quarterback all day long. Now, they're not, you know, now, there's some cases where they protect them a bit much, but ultimately, that's what it is, and it's going to be that. And I enjoy it, though, still at the same time, because when those guys are playing quarterback, we want them to be protected because we want them to have a longevity in their careers and not get hurt because they're the face of every franchise, they're the face of the league. And they play, they make the league exciting by the way that they play.
But if I'm playing defense, then I ain't happy about it. That's all I would say.
Well, just get this, just keep hitting them. That's what I say. Just keep, because they're going to call some and they won't call others. So just keep going for it.
In the first quarter, and it's early, Alabama with a 7-3 lead over South Carolina. This South Carolina gets a field goal, then it's basically a pick six, but it was. Lenora Sellers hits a back coming out the backfield in a bad place, right in the hands, and he pops it up almost like he's playing volleyball, and it goes right to the defensive back for Alabama, and he runs it in for the score. But so far, 7-3, Alabama's offense coming off the field again, so South Carolina's defense has been able to get her off the field. And very early in the second quarter, Missouri Vanderbilt. If you bet the under, you might have something here. It's 0-0 Missouri Vanderbilt. We come back. We're going to get you Mark Passwaters. Covers the Texas A&M Aggies for On3 Sports right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettey along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Got some great food and drink specials here at Acme. Come on by. Got a really full crowd here tonight. And believe me, it's been here since 11 o'clock. It's been packed
rolling
in here.
Yeah.
So come on by. Again, great food and drink specials here. They also can take care of you on any of your catering needs if it's holidays, special events, they can do it here at Acme. You can get in touch with them. This is our Eyes on the Opponent segment. It's brought to you weekly by Hug and Haul Equipment Company. Hug and Haul now has six locations in the state of Louisiana. Number one heavy equipment company in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and now right here in the state of Louisiana. Let's go to our phone lines. We have one with us from On3 Sports, Mark Passwaters, who covers the Texas A&M Aggies. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Man, they had a lot of Aggie fans here at Acme, so
yes,
we
sir.
Know that they here.
They here,
they
in,
here
town,
in full, brother.
Yes, they are.
Well, you know, 7-0 is a great thing. You know, you get people to travel a little bit, and this is an opportunity. So for A&M and hopefully the fan base to, you know, see a good game.
Yeah, Mark, it's just the opposite here. I'll be honest with you. Everybody's got the Debbie Downer. They got a big lip. Just by the way, LSU loses to Vanderbilt. I've talked to a lot of Tiger fans. They don't have a lot of confidence in this team tonight against Texas A&M. I'll be honest. Texas A&M is playing with some confidence right now.
They are.
And I know LSU has that home field advantage, and they haven't won here since they entered the SEC. But if you were going to catch them,
tonight
would be the night, I can tell you.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. I mean, A&M's gone on the road and won two games so far, but one of, you know, that's not necessarily a big deal. But one of them was Notre Dame, so they have a little bit of confidence going on the road, and I think they just have confidence in general. We, you know, they played good complementary football. The defense is playing bad, the offense plays well. The offense is playing bad, the defense plays well. They've got to put together a complete game though tonight, because there's no fun going into Death Valley.
No, indeed.
No.
The big difference on offense, Herb and I were talking about this, and we see the maturity of Marcel Reed at quarterback. And last year, to me, he was a one read. I'm taking off running. This year, much more adept to take a second look, find that secondary receiver. His timing on his throws are so much better. But also, too, you brought in two transfer portal guys in Concepcion and Craver that have really, really made a big difference in this offense for 2025.
Oh, yeah. You guys have already nailed it. Are you sure you need my insight on this? Because, I mean, that's
No.
Correct.
We just want confirmation.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Reed is a much more polished quarterback. I think he's more confident. I think he feels better in Colin Klein's system. I mean, there have been many instances where last year he would have taken off and run, where you see him kind of take a step and then he pulls back and he finds an open receiver. And that's obviously an improvement over last year. And Concepcion and Craver are just light years ahead of anything they had last season. I mean, those guys are both outstanding route runners. They're really fast. They just find ways to get open. And, you know, especially with Concepcion, even though Craver's the guy with the big numbers, Concepcion just finds ways to hurt you.
One of the things, too, is they get after the quarterback. Their defense has been a bit hot and cold throughout the season, where it's a close game, low scoring against Auburn, and then last week it was a track meet against Arkansas. But that quarterback they Arkansas got is pretty doggone good, too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jalen Green put on a performance for the ages last week. He was phenomenal. But they still sacked him four times and had eight tackles for loss. And that's kind of their MO. They get after the quarterback. They make negative plays. And that's why they've been so good on third down. You know, when your opponent is consistently in third and two, you're going to give up a lot of third downs. When they're in third and nine, they're not. And that's just what A&M's been able to do since the SEC schedule started. They just have done a great job, especially winning first down. And then guys are behind the sticks, and that's a position they don't want to be in, especially when Cassius Howell is on the other side of the ball.
Offensive line play this year, how would you grade it for A&M? They've always known to recruit highly recruited guys up front along the offensive line. And so taking a look at it from what I've seen, they've done a pretty doggone good job in pass protection, really solid in the running game. Now, Moss won't play today at running back, and he's a guy that, you know, he grew up right down the road from where we're doing this out of Struma High School. But that running game is solid, really solid.
Yeah, I mean, the running game is solid because the offensive line is really, really good. I mean, you think about this 3 years ago, and Steve Adazio just destroyed that offensive line. I mean, that man should never be allowed in College Station again. But Adam Cushing has done a phenomenal job since he came over with Elko. And last year you saw they were much better, and this year they're just outstanding. They haven't given up a sack in two games against Florida, who sacked Arch Manning six times or seven times. They didn't give up anything, not a sack, not a tackle for loss, nothing. And when they have needed to lean on opponents with the running game, they've been able to do it, whether or not Le'Veon Moss is out there. Reuben Owens has done a great job in his opportunities. And last weekend, for the first time, we really saw E.J. Smith break out. And this is Emmett's son, and he kind of ran like Emmett. And if he can keep doing that, then A&M is going to be very, very thankful that he came over from Stanford.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Smith and his contribution, because he sort of got buried a little bit early on because of Moss. And then Reuben certainly been a good back. But, boy, he got his opportunity last week, and Smith was
– he was good.
The real McCoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's going to kind of fill that power role that Le'Veon Moss had. I mean, Moss can do everything. He's got a little bit of wiggle. He's got that. He's got an outstanding burst, but he can run through people. And Reuben Owens can do that to an extent. I mean – You can ask the safety who was on the goal line for Arkansas last weekend what he thinks of his running ability, because he steamrolled him. But, you know, EJ's 225, and he brings a little bit extra pop. And now that he's fully healthy, I think that he has the ability to give them that little extra on third and fourth and short or fourth and one, a goal, something like that, that they would otherwise be missing.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about this game, Mark, is the fact that it is in Tiger Stadium, under the lights, at night. Again, we talked about this before. What does Texas A&M have to do tonight in order to break that streak of not winning the game in Tiger Stadium?
Don't turn it over.
Yes, that's it. I mean, once again, you guys are reading my mind. It really is about that simple. Don't turn the ball over. A&M has moved the ball on everybody they played. They've had success. You know, even against Auburn, they didn't score a lot of points. They've still had 414 yards of offense. The thing that LSU is going to be looking for is those turnovers, get those short fields where they don't have to march a whole long distance, and then, you know, Nussmeier can do his thing, you know, kind of dinking and dunking his way down the field. And if A&M turns the ball over, then they're in trouble. If they can avoid that, then, you know, it is the best opportunity they've had to win in Tiger Stadium.
So you're saying this is not a psychological thing, this is more of a physical thing?
Yeah, I think that, Mike Elko has done a very, very good job of getting these guys to buy into what he's saying. And he has said, hey, look, you guys are as physical and as tough as any team in the country. And they kind of proved that when they went up to South Bend early in the season. And they've walloped, you know, three straight SEC opponents defensively, then shot it out with Arkansas. And, you know, he's telling them, you guys can go wherever you have to go, put the ball down and play, and you can win. And if they go out there and the offensive line performs the way they should and the defense, you know, doesn't make the mental mistakes that they did last weekend, then they've got a real shot.
Mark, I'm going to ask you this question. I've asked a couple people who've covered A&M, and I think I know the answer. Just by his tone of voice, do you think Jimbo Fisher coaches college football in 2026?
I think he wants to. If you're going to interview him for a job, I got two questions. One, have you learned from your mistakes? Are you still going to be obstinate with your offense? And two, what's your plan for controlling your locker room? Because that's what did you in at A&M. You had it for a couple of years, and then you just kind of went on cruise control, and it ended up being a disaster. If those answers work, then I'd give him a shot. But I don't see him being a real primary candidate for a Power 4 team, at least. You know, not right now.
I do think he wants to come back. I agree with you, Mark. I think it would be the right fit for him, and I agree with you too. Learning from your mistakes, turning that play calling over to somebody else, and he lost that locker room at Florida State at the end.
Yes, he did.
In a very similar manner to what happened at A&M, even though the world of college football had changed by that time with NIL and everything else. So I do think he wants to come back. I can hear it in his voice.
Of course he wants.
That he wants to come back and coach. Never get out of it. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Always enjoy having you on, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Sure, fellas. Take care.
All righty. That was Mark Passwaters from On3 Sports. He covers the Texas A&M Aggies. That was part of our Eyes on the Opponent segment and is brought to you weekly by Hug and Haul Equipment Company, the number one big equipment, heavy equipment, however you want to put it, dealer in the Arkansas, Oklahoma area. Now, 6 locations right here in the state of Louisiana. I want to thank Hug and Haul being a sponsor here for our Tiger Tailgating Show. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road. Come on by and see us. They got great food and drink specials. all the time here at Acme. And, man, we had a full house. Still got a lot of people here. But they got a few empty tables. So come on by. You want to watch the game or catch you something to eat or drink right before, come on by to Acme Oyster House. Man, they'll take great care of you. We love the atmosphere here at Acme each and every week.
Yes, we do.
Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Bill Beyond. Herbin, some of the scores. Man, Kansas State. And we saw Kansas early in the season. Man, Kansas State smoked them today, 42-17. So
yes,
Kansas State, man, with a big, big win. Got some Aggie fans leaving us here, but they were nice enough to come tell us goodbye. But Kansas State, 42-17 over Kansas. Ole Miss, again, with a huge win on the road after a major disappointment. And because of that defense just let them down last week, they beat Oklahoma 34-26 in that game where Oklahoma was like a 4.5 to 5 point favorite at home.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Lane Kiffin, too,
right in the
middle of the tornado of events this week with all kind of talk about him. But Lane's
used to
that. And I think maybe the team has gotten used to it.
Every year Lane's name comes up in some job opening. Every year.
And I really believe that maybe they kind of feed on that.
And deservedly so. This is what Lane's about. He loves the chaos. He loves all of that. He thrives in that.
Also to Georgia Tech with a big win today, 41.
The Ramblin' Wrecks, baby.
And guess what? Still undefeated.
One of six teams going into the
So your daughter today went to Georgia Tech,
she's
right?
She's a Georgia Tech grad,
41-16 over Syracuse. So Memphis, man, just squeezing by South Florida, 34-31. And Memphis, it's been a tough situation. They lose last week.
Yep.
And then, man, they just squeaked by. But, hey, a win's a win in that spot. And Indiana continues to roll. They were a 26-27-point favorite. They beat UCLA today, 56-6.
Well, that's what was supposed to happen. They deserve that. I mean, UCLA is a program that the wheels have gone. They're off. They're trying to do something new. They fired the coach 3-4 weeks ago. Here we go. Indiana is one of those teams that's steamrolling everyone. They have it all together right now.
In a tough game, but Virginia was able to pull it out in overtime. They beat Bill Belichick in North Carolina.
Oh, no.
17-16. So interesting with Virginia after a big emotional game against Florida State. And then you catch North Carolina, and they kind of – I'll be honest with you. Virginia looked like they sleptwalk through part of that game.
It's either that or Bill Belichick is starting to really coach his guys up, and they're starting to play like he wants them to play.
Well, I hope so, because they sure look lousy at the times I've watched them play.
At the beginning of the season, they look bad. I'm not going to deny that. Now, he's already said in multiple times he needs players. He doesn't have the players right now.
Well, we'll see if he can get the players to go there. This is in the first quarter with about 6.5 minutes left. Nicholls State with a 7-0 lead over McNeese.
The Colonels, baby.
The Colonels. They had their big induction of Hall of Famers this morning. Wasn't able to go, but wish them all the best.
Yep.
Also, University of Texas, 7-0 lead over Mississippi State. Now,
yeah,
Mississippi State. Man, they can score.
They can catch you while you're sleeping now.
Yeah.
Don't you forget that.
Texas Tech, 13-0 over Oklahoma State. Texas Tech, who got beat late last week against Arizona State and got an L in the column, but they bounced pretty quickly into flow beating Oklahoma State 13-0. We talked about it a little bit before, but in a under game, I wish I had. Missouri with a 3-0 lead over Vanderbilt. Now, it looks as though there is a drive going on and a potential score at this point. But we know he's playing quarterback there, and he can make some plays with his feet and also with his ability to throw the football. But, man, we just watching Pavia just run in for a score. But,
they got
flags all over the field on this particular play, and that might be coming back.
Yeah.
What a great success story is happening in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Southern Miss who is right now 5-2. They're leading UL Monroe 21-7. Man, what Coach Huff has done there, he brought in a ton of transfers to USM. I got to talk to him in the offseason. He was excited about that challenge, and he talked about, man, all the players in the state of Louisiana and Mississippi that they have, that he felt as though, you know, he could do pretty well in the recruiting part, and he's got it rolling. Now, here's the challenge. Keeping Coach Huff at USM.
Well, I was about to say that, because at the end of the day, it's difficult to win at Southern Miss. It's an afterthought of all of the Mississippi colleges, right, if you think about it, the larger colleges, LSA.
Yeah.
But also, if you can be successful there, there's going to be some schools that's going to come a-knocking, and when they knock, the coaches generally open the door.
Man, I don't know how bad Minnesota's defense is, but it must be pretty bad. This is with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Iowa has scored 31 points. It's 31-0. The zero part on Minnesota is one thing. Iowa to score 31 points in a half?
The Hawkeyes, baby, that's what they do. Sometimes they just catch fire and they'll put 31 on you in a quarter and a half.
Undefeated BYU has got a challenge on their hands.
Iowa State,
it's 17-10. We're looking at it right in front of us. Iowa State with a 17-10 lead with about 5 minutes left. Again, the score is still the same. Alabama, South Carolina. Alabama 7-3 over South Carolina. I'll be honest, Herb, this game's a lot closer than I thought it would be. Watching South Carolina play against LSU, the score was no indication of how LSU really controlled that game. They just couldn't convert. You fumble at the one-yard line. Yeah. You throw a damn interception. You know, there was all kind of penalties in that game. You had a drop pass for a deep play with Chris Hilton. But, man, 7-3. And sometimes you catch games like this.
It's the SEC. That's what happens.
And you better be prepared for that particular game. And South Carolina is basically in a situation where they could possibly score. There is a flag on it, what it looks to be a touchdown play by Lenora Sellers, but I saw the flag go out pretty quickly. So we'll keep you up to date on that. And my old buddy Frank Selfo at Southeastern, 21-7 in the third quarter. They just got out of halftime leading Homer Christian. Listen to me. Houston Christian. Man, Homer Christian, that would have been a nice payday for them.
That's right.
That's right up the roof from where I live, Homer Christian. And so it's kind of embedded in the mind a little bit. But, man, Frank Selfo has done a great job at Southeastern. Coach Franken, he was very confident before the season started. We had him on numerous times, and he's like, Mike, we should have made the playoffs last year. But, you know, we got to put that aside and just – get into it in the Southland Conference, and he's got them rolling again.
Frank has always been a guy that can get any team rolling. Doesn't matter where he is, what level he's on. He's going to get teams to buy in, and he's going to put a great product on the field, and they're going to win some football games.
And as we told you, on both plays for Missouri and also for South Carolina, there were penalties, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
So both of them are in striking range to score. But, again, man, I give Missouri a lot of credit. They have boxed up Pavia really, really well in the first half of this game. Now, that could change because, man, he makes plays that are impromptu that, Herb, you don't see a lot of guys. And they give him the reins to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. And the reason why is because they trust him. And he delivers 95% of the time. And that's what you should do. He's a veteran guy. He's been playing college football now for, 6 years or so? So he understands the game. He understands what's going on. And I would give him the reins and the keys and say, go, buddy. Make it happen.
Okay. And so it's about 2 minutes left in the second quarter. And Vanderbilt has tied the game with Missouri 3-3. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at an Acme Oyster House here on Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. We'll be back right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler.
We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4:30 this afternoon, and then we'll hand it off to the LSU Radio Network. Hunt and Big Fave, they'll take over at 4:30, and then at 6:30 kickoff right here on the Big 870 WWL. The Texas A&M Aggies and the LSU Tigers. Want to tell everybody South Carolina has made this game 7-6. Man, that would have been a good under game, too. And again, we talked about it, Missouri Vandy, 3-3. And I think we're really close to halftime with Missouri Vandy. But Missouri's
driving.
Missouri got something going on. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right here at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with the legendary Herb Powell.
Legendary.
Here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. Man, we were busy over here at Acme today. And so want to thank everybody here at Acme. Always treat us great here when we come each and every week. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built. Build Beyond. This is our Tiger Scout Notebook segment and is brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, focused on the patient care. On our phone lines, we have on with us from the Datitude Podcast, Times-Picayune Advocate, Jim Derry. Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
What's going on, gentlemen? How are y'all?
Doing great, Jim. We've talked about it before throughout our broadcast, but, man, you talk about the stakes are high for LSU here. Cannot afford another loss.
No.
But isn't the teams kind of swung where this is almost a reversal of fortune of a year ago, where A&M kind of came stumbling in. They didn't have any footing on offense. Connor Wegman didn't play well in the first half of that game. All of a sudden, you know, LSU throws, I think, an interception late in there that kind of kill another drive. Marcel Reed gets put in. Bang. And LSU's defense didn't recover until late in the year after three straight losses. And it's almost like the reversal of fortune for both teams, the way you look at it this year. A&M's red hot. They've come in undefeated, really playing well on offense. LSU just trying to find an offense somewhere. But it's funny how this series has really been kind of either you're in the, on top of the mountain or you're in the valley.
Or you're in the valley.
Marcel Reed hasn't looked back since then, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Nope. I mean, he's been phenomenal, really, for Texas A&M. And, you know, these two teams really aren't that far apart, as the spread will show you. You know, I like to at least look at that and see what the odds makers think. They're within 2 or 3 points of one another. And I think you're exactly hit the nail on the head, Mike. I think the LSU's primed to – they're either going to have their best game of the year or one of their best games of the year, or this season is going to go completely south as far as it can go. I don't think there's a middle ground. I really do. I believe that either LSU is going to win the game.
I agree.
Or they're going to lose big and they're just going to give it up, and it's going to be a nightmare next few weeks and into the offseason, and it's going to be big decisions to be made. So that's kind of where I think this team is right now, and I agree with you. It's a reversal of fortunes, and LSU absolutely has a chance before the bye week to not only have their season be relevant into November, because it's not going to be relevant if they don't win this football game, but they have a chance to kind of turn things around and get the taste out of last week out of their mouths. And if you beat an undefeated team, a third-ranked team, you know, at home at Tiger Stadium at night, where we know how crazy it can be, you know, the Saturday before Halloween, I think it can change a lot of things for this LSU team.
Jim, I know you one of the biggest Lane Kiffin fans in the world. How about today?
On,
you go to Norman, Oklahoma, and in the swirl of the vortex, they come out with a victory. And that, to me, is impressive. Because last week, you just couldn't stop if you had a cool, no handkerchief. I mean, it was right through defensively. But they able to bounce back. That is a huge win, and I think a psychological win for this Ole Miss team that says, you know what, despite all the distractions, hey, we're starting to get used to it,
yep,
and we might react better, you know, being in the eye of the storm.
Guys, to say that I was rooting for Mateer to find some kind of magic in that last minute and 6 seconds is an understatement. Let's just put it that way. It scares me to death, all this talk about if there's a change at coach at LSU, what a quandary I would be put in if he was become a part of the conversation. Look,
just telling you, Jim, you don't have to worry.
Credit, good, good. I believe you. You've been telling me. You've been telling me that. I got to believe you. I got to give him credit, though, today. You're absolutely right. Goes into a tough place to play. And Ole Miss is now, they're actually favorites to go to the playoffs now. And well-deserved. I mean, I can't, I got to give respect where it's due. And Ole Miss has done exactly what it's needed to do. You know, almost won last week, and it would have probably been a miracle victory almost. But, you know, they really could be undefeated right now. And so, I mean, you're talking about an Ole Miss team that I don't think anybody really wants to play going forward. They are a tough team to beat, and they show you that they can win anywhere. It doesn't matter whether they're at home or on the road. And they're going to be a force. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with going down the stretch.
Yeah, man, it's the whole SEC thing right now is absolutely phenomenal, the way that everything is shaking itself out. LSU has everything in front of them right now, a win tonight, and just keep on winning 1-0. They'll be great. The problem is, who believes they're going to win tonight, right? Does LSU believe they're going to win? Does the fan base believe they're going to win? So with all of that being said, what do you think, Jim? Do you think LSU has a chance tonight in this game, playing the way that they've played against ranked opponents all season? And then, you know, your two SEC wins that you did beat are the two last, you know, teams in the SEC right now.
Herb, I want you to think back, okay? And it's not exactly the same, but number one Florida came into Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night. And the LSU Tigers beat the number one team in the country that night. This team is better. Well, I'm sorry, but this team is better than that LSU team. Anything can happen on any given time. I know you remember that game. I know you know what I'm talking about. And I really believe, I think LSU is going to keep themselves, I think they're going to keep themselves relevant. I think they are going to win this football game tonight, because I think, look, Garrett Nussmeier showed me a lot last week. He got beat up and beat up, and he kept, he was like Rocky. Okay, he was like Rocky. He kept coming back for more, and he's going to have to tonight with a rookie left tackle playing over there. He's going to have to be on the move a little bit. I really like LSU's chances. I don't know how they're going to do it, because they really don't match up that well. You're talking about a Texas A&M team that has 25 sacks this year. The offensive line is going to have to play its best game, but I can't fathom this team is just going to lay down and die. I think they're going to play their best football tonight.
Jim, Herb and I have done this Tiger tailgate for 2.5 years. It's the most subdued I've ever seen LSU fans before a game. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Absolutely subdued that, you know, hey, I don't know what I'm expecting from this team tonight. I really don't know. And that's what you hear from everybody that's here. We actually had a former LSU player here that kind of said the exact same thing. So, man, it's one of those moments for Brian Kelly, and they're not getting rid of him, okay?
No.
Brian Kelly's going to be the coach at LSU in 2026. All this nonsense that you – it's great for clicks if that's what you want to do online. And I got nothing against that. I'll pass through that pretty quick. But, you know, Brian Kelly's going to be here, but I think offensively you have no idea what this team looks like. None from week to week.
We still don't know what they could do. I mean, it's
good.
The same to say. You're two-thirds of the season, and you really don't even know what they could do. I mean, at no point have we really felt like this is a playoff team, maybe the Clemson game, but we didn't know how bad Clemson was at the time. But, I mean, that just you still, here we go, with 5 games left, you just don't know how good or bad this team is. And I guess that's why it's so hard to predict what they're going to do.
I see Texas, 14-7 lead over Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, this was a team a lot of people thought, and including myself, would be in that top 12, could play for a national championship.
And, man, it has hit a thud for that offense for the Longhorns. And, listen, Mississippi State is sneaky good on offense. Now, defense, it's a little bit on the El Lazio side. But, man, offensively, they can put some points up on the board. This is a scary game for the Longhorns also tonight. Or this afternoon, I should say.
Mike, the problem is that Arch hasn't figured it out yet, which is a, you know, obviously he's not going anywhere after the season. He's going to go back to Texas. But he just is not adjusting to college football after the time that he spent on the bench. And I'm concerned about, if I was a Texas fan, I would really be concerned about whether Arch Manning is going to be able to develop into the quarterback they thought he was going to be, because he's way beyond the curve right now. And if he doesn't figure it out, I mean, not only is this going to be a lost season, but Texas is going to have to figure out what they want to do next year.
The best looking quarterback I've seen all season long. And it's never pretty what he does. But boy, is he effective,
Ty?
Fernando Mendoza.
Oh, Mendoza, yeah.
Okay.
Goodness. No. Listen, I'm a big Dante Moore guy, but you know, Dante don't have a lot of experience under his belt, and he may come out early, and he would probably be a top pick. Mendoza, man, he carves up everybody.
Everybody.
And for you to go to Eugene, Oregon,
yep.
Yeah.
And put a whipping. Like what they did to Oregon, the score was no indication of how good they are.
I'll tell you this. I don't want to play Indiana in the playoffs. Well, I mean, if you're LSU, you want to play anybody in the playoffs, so you'd be happy to play Indiana. but if you're a contender, I'm telling you right now, Indiana is that team that nobody's given them – well, not nobody, but the odds makers are giving them respect. But I think the general public is not quite giving them respect because they're Indiana. But because of Mendoza, I really believe that they have a chance to win a national championship. And I don't think anybody would, in their right minds would have said that even a month ago. Herb, I'm interested to see, well, who's your favorite college quarterback right now?
Give it to him, Herb.
So, you know, right
you
now,
know who
honestly,
it is. Tell him.
Honestly, my favorite quarterback right now, when I watch all the games and what they can do, whether you win loss record, it doesn't make a difference to me. But Diego Pavia is, to me, he's the guy that strikes a lot of fear into people. So I like the way he plays. I like his
confidence. Now, that part
confidence.
Is true.
I like his confidence. I like his swagger. I like all of that. So he may not have the, like, of course, Indiana, in my mind, probably has a better team around their quarterback than Diego does. You insert Diego into that team, I think he'll be undefeated as well. I just like
Diego
the way he plays
Pavia,
the game.
Can he be like Baker Mayfield? Can he make it to the next level?
I think he can. I think it's similar to me. He's not so much like Baker. He's really more like the Jalen Hurts from Alabama to the Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma, in my opinion. Because I think the Jalen Hurts from Alabama does not transition well to the NFL. But going to get under, you know, Lincoln Riley for 2 years or whatever it was, or 1 year, was paramount for his development. And I think Diego, if he can get underneath the right person, I think he can be fine.
Here's my thing with Pavia. I use him like Taysom Hill. I could play him.
Yeah.
I could run him quarterback power. He's good enough as a passer. Every once in a while, he's going to make a strike downfield.
Mm-hmm.
I put him on special teams. He going to knock a snot bubble on somebody real quick.
Well, what I think is, I think that you when you look at a Taysom's 6'3", 6'4", 250 or whatever he is. He's a man.
5'9" and three
I don't
quarters.
Think you play him like that. I think Pavia, if you can reel him in a little bit and really show him how to see the field and be able to deliver the football and put it on time and where it needs to be, I think he can be successful.
If he's not accurate now, he's never going to be.
I don't disagree with that.
With his size, though, Herb, how's he going to be? Look, I mean, you know, seeing over those big guys in the line, we talk about it all the time. Can he play at the next level? Where is he going to play? Because I don't know that he can play quarterback on an everyday basis in the NFL.
I agree with you there. But, man, there's plays for him. Plays for him.
Yep.
Man, I'd love him on my football team. That's all I know.
Oh,
I'll
I'm
figure out a
that.
Way
yeah,
to use him.
He's a winner. Dude's a winner. I mean, he turned Vanderbilt into a winner. So there's no question
that
I would like to have him. And he's going to be a later round pick. He's not going to go until probably the fifth round or so. So you're not losing anything by taking a chance on him.
No, not at all.
But
I
you
agree.
Know who's pushed Pavia? Pavia and also the Indiana quarterback? Ty Simpson from Alabama. Yeah.
I say,
nobody could have predicted
how long it was going to take one of y'all to bring Alabama into the conversation here, because
nobody would have predicted that.
Quietly moving along, you know.
And listen, this game against South Carolina is a lot closer than I thought. 14-6 at halftime. Man, I thought by now, after watching South Carolina, they'd have blown the cork off of them real quick. But hasn't happened yet. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Derry from Datitude Podcast. And our Tiger Scout Notebook segment is brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, focused on patient care. Always thank Greg Stock and the great crew at Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. We'll be back to finish it off here on Tiger Tailgate right after this break. We're finishing up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Great food, drink specials. Want to thank everybody here from Acme. They do a fantastic job taking care of everybody,
wonderful,
including us on Saturday afternoons. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb, the one thing LSU's got to do tonight to win.
Win the game. They got to play much better than they have against ranked opponents, and they got to come together as one, and they need to start early and need to finish strong at the end of the game. And they need to cause some havoc on defense, create some turnovers, score some touchdowns, no field goals, and don't turn the ball over.
My thing is to corral Marcel Reed.
Yep.
Force somebody else to beat you, because I think you can match up in the secondary.
Yeah.
Against their receivers. You cannot let Reed control this game. Like, I think that's what they want to do. Because
exactly
they saw what Pavia did last week.
Yep.
Exactly. Same thing with Diego Pavia did him. They don't want Marcel Reed doing that.
No, sir.
I know one thing from an athlete standpoint. Man, Marcel Reed,
he can
run a lot faster than Pavia can.
Yeah, he's a lot better runner than he is. And a lot better passer than he is, actually, too.
He sure has improved in that area. Thank everybody for listening. We'll send you to the LSU Radio Network. Marlon Favorite and the crew there, they'll take over. Kickoff, 6:30, LSU, A&M, right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.